Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 318, which associates with nothing catchy that I can think of. So there.
So close.
Yeah. Somebody's area code, maybe?
Possibly. Or, I guess it's possible.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It is funny that when we did 314, we talked about pi. We never talked about
it's our area
we
code.
We didn't talk about the fact that it's the area code that we live in. So now we won't have that chance again until episode 636.
I appreciate the fact that you think we're going to get that far. I mean, at this point, it's very possible.
Yeah.
We're at 318.
Yeah, we're at 318. Yeah, we're halfway there. I think it's totally doable. Yeah. I don't think that's really how half works, but that's
I wish there would be no math.
Yeah. Apparently, there isn't.
No, there's not.
You just said 318 was halfway. Of 636.
Yeah, it's halfway, right?
Is that now I'm questioning myself. Is that half?
No, yes. I don't think so.
It not is. Exactly half?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is exactly half. So see?
Suck it.
You got lucky.
I got totally lucky.
Yeah. Because I didn't graduate from college until I was 45 because I had to take one math class. I had a math class left to take, and I kicked that can down the road for 20 years.
Not going to do it. You can't make me do it.
Which is almost two decades.
Is the whole show going to be you bragging?
Was that bragging?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
I graduated college.
I'm not sure if that's impressive, that, like, he just didn't need college, or the fact that that was just lazy because he could have just taken one class. Like, I'm not.
Was it a hard math class?
No.
Was it
it was the description of the class.
Math for dummies.
Was actually written in crayon. No, the description of the class, it did literally say, this class is a prerequisite for nothing.
Yeah.
They're like, if you plan on ever taking another math class, do not take this math. I mean,
that's hilarious.
Like, that is almost verbatim what it said. They were like,
4 times 4 is?
Yes. No. You know what was weird about the class was, like, I thought you would think it wouldn't be that hard because it's 4, you know, idiots. And, but what became difficult for me about the class is it was an overview. So they'd be like, they'd start you off with like, oh, we're going to teach you about Venn diagrams. Okay. So you work on Venn diagrams, you start to get pretty good at that. And they're like, getting good with Venn diagrams. Okay, yeah. Screw that. Let's calculate interest. Okay. Feeling pretty good about that. Yeah, good. We're truth tables. Oh, crap. Okay. And then so it had no build. Like in algebra, like you learn a little thing,
right?
And you build on that, and then you build on that, and you build on that. And this was like everything you would. Anytime you would slide to the next thing, it had nothing to do with what came before it, and so you just had to completely Yeah.
It was, no, I it get was, it. My kid now does, like, they have Common Core.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's insane.
It is.
She gets it.
Right. Like, they get it when you learn it that
way.
When
she's learning it that way, it's unbelievable. But I'm looking at, like, I'm reading the math problem. I'm just like, I can't help you.
I remember the first time. It was a couple of years ago, I think, when Ryan brought that home, and I'm like, this is such an easy problem, and I can do it in 1 second, but you have to do it.
So that's what I did. Like, yeah. I did it.
And they tell you,
don't do it that way.
They're like, you know another way to solve this problem. Don't tell it to your kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, like, it was like, you know, the basic problem was 12 minus 7. So I was like, well, here's the 12, and here's the 7, 5. And Bella was just like, but you didn't put the 10 into the 2 and the thing, and I was like, okay.
But you know, the thing though, the 12 and then the 7 underneath it, and then you do 5. Like, but you,
the way I learned it was not the way she learned it.
But there's nothing there to show you why that works.
Right. No, I agree.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like that, I mean, so that's what they're trying to teach them, concepts and visualization. And so, I mean, you know, I get that people look at it and think it's dumb, but it's, but I do think for the most part, like, kids seem to be learning it faster.
She's learning it faster. That's for sure.
There's a great comic strip from a few years ago of a math class where a kid, kind of like my kid, because I taught her about all sorts of math tricks and numbers, and she was great with arithmetic when she was very, very young.
Yeah.
And so she would go into class and they would ask her how to do this. They would give her the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And she would figure it out in her head and write down the answer. And the teacher would say, well, you have to show how you do that. And in the comic strip, the kid draws a picture of herself with a thought bubble with the answer in it.
I figured it out inside my brain. I didn't need to write anything down.
That's what it is, though. Like, she, like, you can, like, it's so weird to watch her brain work, because she'll read it and then she'll be like, oh, it's 42. I was like, Jesus, that was fast. All right, well done.
That's why they're teaching them Common Core math, right?
Yeah, I mean, so.
And thank you. This has been Math Talk, guest starring Paul Harris.
Exactly. So,
how did I get to be the star of that? I didn't bring this up.
Well, you're the guest star. Yeah. We're Math Talk. You're
because
right.
you actually knew how to do math.
Guest starring. Okay.
Guest starring, yes.
So, I guess we should go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Paul.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So, just real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. So check out our Facebook page, join the League of Show Sharers, all that stuff. So is there something weird in your drink?
Yeah, something dead.
We've had fruit flies in this house and we cannot figure out why, because it's not like I'm eating fruit. You want me to go get you another glass?
No, we're good.
Okay.
It's protein.
Just swallow, it'll be fine. It's got protein.
I probably don't have enough fruit in my diet.
Yeah. Neither did he, apparently. So
I regret nothing.
He could have gone for Kevin's can, which says on the side contains 0% juice, even though it's Wild Cherry Diet Pepsi. Yes. Contains 0%
juice. The fruit fly was like, I know the look of those cherries.
Yes.
I'm in. That's how I like my juice, with no juice.
No juice.
But it does have a sulfame potassium. That sounds like juice, right?
It says no juice, Kevin.
I think everybody remembers where they were the first time they heard gin and assaulting potassium, whatever it was you just said.
Right.
So
this is a weird episode.
I just don't understand why a fruit fly went for water as opposed to something that has a picture of fruit on it. It can't read contains 0%
juice. I appreciate the fact that you think the fruit fly knew the picture of the cherries were on the soda can.
That's its job.
I think even the fruit fly was like, that stuff smells like poison.
Yeah.
I'm going to the water.
It's weird that he didn't read the aspartame-free part on there.
Yeah,
though.
That's what it says.
No aspartame in it. Come on, fruit fly.
He likes the aspartame.
Yeah.
Bring it back. Bring it back, Pepsi. For us fruit flies.
They did. There are...
No, there's not.
They have, I believe, two lines of Diet Pepsi now where, like, one is... it's not like Diet Pepsi Classic, but it's got a... But there is a version you can get with aspartame, because so many people were like, but I like it.
You know,
they have the original. They have, like, Pepsi 1812 or whatever that is, like, the pure sugar. It's however they made it back.
They have a Mountain Dew and a Pepsi.
Okay,
they're like the pure
cane sugar. I've heard of that one. That's interesting. They have a diet soda line that's not their main. Like, it's an extra diet...
Yeah, because it tasted different when they switched. I could tell.
It
took me a while to get used to it. Yeah.
I won't drink it unless it has cyclamates.
I want something that's going to force me to miscarry. It doesn't taste good.
And I'm a man.
Right. Yeah. Like, unless it tastes like a miscarriage.
That's a hell of a beverage.
I don't want it. So
made my balls fall off. I don't realize. It's the strangest thing.
Didn't think I could outdo the eating baby jokes, but I can. Don't challenge me.
You're lucky, Brad. I wasn't on that episode.
Oh.
It'd have been game on.
You'd have loved it.
I would have. So
I feel like maybe we've...
The other white meat. Depends on the baby.
It's true. That's fair. Yeah.
I feel like maybe we just bottled up some weird energy that we didn't let out during the last episode. It's all coming out.
We were trying to be our best behavior because we had guests. We had female guests. We were like,
didn't want to freak them out too bad.
Yeah. So we should probably start talking about this movie so we can get our day back. American Made. So Joe saw this one.
Yeah,
so
I
we
did.
Can finally.
I can finally,
finally
talk about it
after like six episodes. Yeah. have an episode where Joe can go back to synopsizing.
Say something offensive.
I have no fear, my friend. So it's weird to see Tom Cruise.
Yes.
In a movie considering how bad he was in The Mummy.
Yeah.
To this.
Well, the trailer.
This is the Tom Cruise that I feel like he was doing for a while, with the exception of like Ethan Hunt and Jack Reacher. Like, this is that Tom Cruise character.
Mission Impossible, I believe you find out that Ethan has a brother named Mike.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
Just get that joke every single time.
Every time.
Every time.
Never gets old.
Never gets old.
Never gets old.
Well, it was interesting because we mentioned it before, but they played a trailer for this before The Mummy, and then we had to go watch The Mummy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, just like, God. I just kept thinking of the pre-trailer for this movie, right?
Yes. Yeah. So this one opened. This is based on a true story. I don't know how much of this is actually true.
I want to find out now.
I'm guessing that Paul might know. This seemed like the sort of thing that you would know. Like, I'm not trying to call you out.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was thinking like, I bet he'll know.
Yeah.
The little bit I've read, I think it's fairly true.
Okay.
Which makes me want to read whatever book this is based off of, or just read internet articles about it. Because what a fascinating story.
It's a crazy story.
Yeah.
It's a crazy story because, so he's a TWA. Did they say he was in the Air Force? Did they say that?
No, they start with him as a TWA pilot.
But did they say it, like, did they ever give his background as to how?
I don't think so.
Was he Civil Air Patrol? I feel like that was mentioned in the movie, but it might have been somebody else.
It could have been. So he's a lowly TWA pilot.
Flying is a monotonous job.
He likes to get a little kick where he'll turn off the autopilot when everybody's sleeping and give it a little bit of a nosedive, and then everybody freaks out and he saves the day, and he's like, oh, I'm just a little bit of turbulence.
It just shows
kidding.
You how
he's
bored
the,
this guy
he's
is.
He's the kind of, like, the fireman who's an arsonist.
Yeah, right, exactly. So he is on a side gig. He is smuggling Cuban cigars,
like low grade smuggling,
very small,
like 2 and 3 boxes,
right,
at
nothing
time.
Crazy,
like, it's penny ante.
And the government catches on and realizes what he's doing. It's weird because I didn't think the government had that much intelligence in the 70s?
Well, see, here's the thing. I took it as, I don't think it's that the government caught on.
I think
it's the CIA caught on.
Ah.
So I think the CIA was looking for pilots that they could commandeer.
I gotcha.
And so they were like, they knew that this was a scam that pilots would run, which is you could, and you know, if you're in Europe, you could buy Cuban cigars that weren't, you know, because they're embargoed in the U.S.
Right.
You fly, when you're flying back to Canada, they don't check them, and then when you come from Canada to the States, nobody's looking for Cuban cigars.
Is that because when pilots come back to the States, they don't have to open their bags at customs?
They don't. They just walk through.
Well, I think
commercial pilots.
Yeah, and I took it as you do in the U.S., but I think it was so loosey goosey between Canada and the U.S. So, like, had he been coming back from Europe.
Oh, I see.
He would have had to open his bags, but Canada, and so they didn't really think, it was just a loophole that they didn't really realize.
Right.
They didn't think about the fact that they, in their heads, they were thinking, well, you went from the States to Canada
like,
and back.
But you get beer?
But
you get hockey?
But really, you went from the States to Europe to Canada to the States.
Right.
Okay.
And so that's how I interpreted it.
Yeah, because they do a little flight plan.
Right.
Where, you know, Indiana Jones style, where he's bouncing all over the entire place.
Yeah.
So
as long as you don't do a Cannonball Run 2 style,
that'd be bad.
That was bad.
Yeah. That's well, that movie's bad.
Well, yeah, because there's no
movie.
Car chases. It's all just that cartoon at the end. Oh, and then we ran the race.
Right.
What?
Because they made the whole movie in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
They never went anywhere else in America.
It's awful.
It's
and
not
that,
a good movie.
That first one was so much fun. It's not.
I miss those movies.
It's not a good movie, but it's a fun movie.
Fun movie.
Yeah.
And plus, cannonballs can't run. So what? totally messed up.
That's what you took away from that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's totally unrealistic.
No, I'm with you. All right. So he's approached by Schaefer, who is...
Mother's Own, Dom Hall Gleason.
Yeah, Dom Hall Gleason.
That's
where I recognize
him. Yeah, well, he's in Star Wars.
He's General Hux.
General Hux in Star Wars.
Ex Machina.
Was he in Harry Potter?
Harry Potter. He's the older brother of the redheaded Weasley. Twins. He's the older Weasley.
Also in a terrific movie called About Time.
That is a fantastic movie.
Where Bill Nye plays his father.
Yeah, and Rachel McAdams.
That was a good movie.
That one flew under the radar. That was a good flick.
Mm-hmm. He's a good actor. I just did a joke because we recently reviewed Mother, and I know how much Tom loved it, so he was glad to see someone reprising.
I think we all did.
Yep.
Not that baby.
I think Domhnall Gleeson is the best thing in this movie, American Made.
I would agree. Good. He's really good. This is the time. Like, I hate Tom Cruise. I think Tom Cruise is a joke. I don't think of him as an action star.
Why?
I'm just
curious why one of the biggest A-list celebrities of all time.
Have you always felt that way, or is it recent?
So I feel like that the turn for me happened with the Oprah thing, where I'm like, he's crazy.
Well, that's where everyone thought he was crazy.
That's what happened for a lot of people.
Yeah, so like, I mean, I was never, you know, like, I'm never going to go out of my way to see Born on the 4th of July. But I mean, like, I like Risky Business is a good flick. I like Color of Money. Color of Money, Taps. Is that right?
I think that's his first Rain Man movie.
Yeah.
Rain Man, he should have won the Oscar, not Dustin Hoffman.
I would agree.
Because Dustin Hoffman doesn't have a character arc.
No.
Right? Like,
he just stays the same.
Yeah. Tom Cruise actually has to evolve
as a character. I don't like Top Gun.
Had to do all that acting.
Top Gun does absolutely nothing for me.
Which is weird, because normally you're very much a fan of jingoism.
That's right. And I'm also Top Gun. Never mind.
And you love shirtless sand volleyball.
That's correct. Yeah.
With men.
With
to
men.
Be clear.
Val Kilmer at his sexiest, if you will.
But why do you think he's a joke, though? So, like, I mean, a few good men.
I'll give you one movie that explains it. Going Clear.
I think he's two-faced. I think he's
as a person, you can be crazy. I'm just saying, as an actor.
But.
Like, I don't like Sean Penn. I think he's an asshole. But the guy's a good actor, and he can direct a movie. Like, sometimes I feel like you have to separate.
Daniel Day-Lewis?
You don't have to like the guy, but I'm just saying, like, what makes him a joke? Like,
I think with a lot of actors, you see them in a certain way. And to most of their credit, they keep their personal lives secret.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't.
I mean, like,
whoa.
Tom Cruise.
The last movie you saw in 1941?
No, but I mean, like, if you look at Tom Cruise, when he does these interviews, he's the actor Tom Cruise. Then you see him in Going Clear, and you're like, holy shit.
No, I would say that Tom Cruise stopped
being Tom Cruise?
Stopped kind of keeping that quiet around the time of the Oprah thing.
Yeah.
So he had a publicist that was like, you need to shut your pie hole about that. Nobody cares. And like, it's just going to drive people. It's going to be a wedge.
Right.
And the same way that they used to tell gay actors,
right, don't
say anything, you know. And then he got rid of his publicist and
hired his sister.
Yeah. And they were like, no, people will they'll just love Scientology because they love you. Like, not so much.
And it's also like, because I've seen so much backlash, not because of the interview, but like the Going Clear stuff. And then the Leah Remi show, which I kind of take with a grain of salt because I feel like that might be a little bit drummed up a little bit.
Well, I mean, she's
for TV.
I don't know. I mean, she certainly has an axe to grind, and she does. She is what we would refer to in literature as an unreliable narrator.
Correct.
I mean, she's got it. She's got a bias, but
right.
I will also say that it seems like her bias is
legit.
Her bias is well earned.
Yeah,
that's probably true. There seems to be a lot of unrelated stories that follow a similar pattern.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's fair. In the same way that, like, when, you know, in the 80s, when you heard your first priest molested a kid story, you're like, I don't know about all that. Or that's probably isolated thing. They got one bad priest. That's a shame.
Right.
But
benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Where, like,
and
but
then
400 versions of that story
I just rewatched Spotlight.
Yeah.
A week ago. God, what a great movie.
That was a good movie.
So good.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, so like that's you look at George Clooney in an interview. And I feel like,
how can you not?
Thank you.
He's dreamy.
You don't like the person Tom Cruise, or you don't like his actor Tom Cruise?
I think when he in roles like this, he's enjoyable for me to watch.
So like when he came back with Night and Day.
I never saw that.
Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so
fun. I think Night and Day is a fun movie.
That was his first like comeback. You know, I mean, he did Tropic Thunder as a little jokey role, which was like, oh, this is interesting. But Night and Day was like full craziness.
What I liked about Night and Day was that was his first big movie after The Couch.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And he steered into the skid.
Yeah.
He was like, you think I'm crazy? Then I'll play crazy.
I'll play crazy.
And I thought that movie was a lot of fun.
Plus, you got really likable Cameron Diaz.
And that's a rarity.
Which doesn't happen often ever.
That is very much a rarity. And I've always been indifferent on Tom Cruise. He's made some movies I've really liked. He's made some movies I haven't. But I've never been like pro or con Tom Cruise. Like, I've just been like, whatever. But here's what I respect about Tom Cruise is, until Mission Impossible, which is 30 years
into Mission Impossible 1?
Yes.
Yeah.
Until Mission Impossible, or I guess technically we're going to say Mission Impossible 2.
Fair enough, yeah.
When you hear the rest of the thought.
With a Linkin Park or Limp Bizkit version of the theme.
But until Mission Impossible 2, which is easily, 30 years into his career, this is an actor never had a franchise.
That's legit.
He's never taken the paycheck role. Like, not that he hasn't made damn good money to make movies,
right?
But he wasn't making franchises. The franchise was Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
and so you went, and there aren't.
He was his own brand,
right? There aren't very many actors left who have that.
No, I would agree.
And he turned down Top Gun 2, I believe, very early on. You want to make another one because it was so popular? Nope.
Like, nope. I'm good.
Yeah.
And he's also always been one of those actors who is like, I'm going to make a Top Gun. I'm going to make a Days of Thunder. And then I'm going to go make a Born on the 4th of July. Or I'm going to go make a Magnolia.
Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, even Jerry Maguire, like, even though it ends up being a big hit.
Right.
It wasn't. I don't think that was a slam dunk big hit when he took that role.
Probably not. I think when he added some credence to it.
Sure. I mean, he got that movie.
Was that 96?
Maybe. Something sounds about right. Yeah. He certainly took that movie to the next level from a marketing standpoint.
Sure.
But still, I don't think that, you know, that was, you know, Cameron Crowe's big movie before that was what, Say Anything? Which is a great movie.
Fast Times
he wrote. Yeah.
Right.
Did he write the movie? Did he write the article it was based on?
He wrote the book.
He wrote, and then
he wrote the script for the movie.
Okay, I can't remember if he actually wrote the screenplay. I knew that it was an article for Rolling Stone?
Yeah.
And then he turned it into a book. He fleshed it out.
Well, wait, when was Almost Famous?
Almost Famous is...
Was it post-Jerry Maguire?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I respect his career path. I respect the fact that he, you know, he's never really said, let's just make a bunch of sequels, let's build a franchise. And even Mission Impossible isn't a franchise in the traditional sense, in my opinion. Like, it's
there's no connecting tissue between those movies.
Right. You can watch any of those. You can watch those movies in
any
order.
It's different missions each time.
Yeah.
It's just Ethan Hunt going on his missions. Except for, didn't they have like whether it was like the wife angle or something? Something with the last
they
one.
They did a
to
little
carry
bit,
over,
but not
just the last one.
Yeah,
though,
but yeah. not
over Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what that was.
But so I respect that.
And I would say too, and I agree. I think he's done some great films. I haven't loved them all, but he's done a wide variety of characters and had been in a lot.
They wanted him for Iron Man.
Oh, did they? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. But also, I think what I really respect too, which just when you talk about the Mission Impossible stuff and Jack Reacher,
that second movie was garbage.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't say the second one.
Oh,
but this guy is in his 50s doing these stunts and, you know, like, I mean, the guy is in great shape and he's dedicated to these roles. He produces a lot of
movies.
He's
starting to get that old man barrel chest.
He's getting like that George Reeves kind of look.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
But I just respect the guy for a while. I mean, the guy does a lot of his own stuff. He produces a lot of movies. Like, I mean, he may be crazy, but I just feel like the guy, I have respect.
I would not
for him,
go
you know?
Out of, if I was not doing this podcast, I would not go out of my way to see a new Tom Cruise movie.
Just because he's in it, it would just be
whatever. Like, he's not a draw for me.
Yeah. Fair
that
enough.
Being,
I was just wondering,
that being
you know?
Said, I did enjoy him in this movie.
So you know, crazy Tom Cruise.
I guess. Like, I guess that's like, but it's not.
You would love Night and Day.
It's,
you know,
this didn't have to be Tom Cruise, though. And
don't
ask me who else it could have been. But this
who else could have been?
Well, this is our show. You're our guest, so we will ask you.
You will answer our damn questions. No, well, but go ahead. Sorry.
The role that he plays in this, which we're going to get into, I assume eventually, does not have to be. It's not a Tom Cruise role.
Right.
It isn't.
And I think a lot of people. And we'll probably get into this later on. I think a lot of people who, when they see him on the poster running with the plane crashing behind him and all that stuff, they're going to look at it and go, oh, it's a Tom Cruise action movie.
Right. Yeah.
And this
isn't. It's not an action movie.
There's not one extended fist fight in this movie.
No. Yeah. And Matthew McConaughey would have been good in this.
So this reminded me of Gold.
I think so.
I thought that this was
the Southern, fast talking, kind of crazy.
Yeah,
gonna do whatever he wants. Doesn't think the rules apply to him.
Okay,
I think
super cool.
I've seen Gold. I don't know.
I mean,
it's very similar
to Gold.
No, it would be very similar to Gold. Yeah.
I'm just thinking because that didn't turn out exactly how we would.
That wasn't his fault.
That was not his fault.
No, yeah, I see what you're saying. You know, it definitely isn't a Tom Cruise role, but I really liked it. I mean, this movie, I really liked the movie Blow. And for me,
I'm not a huge fan of that one.
Really?
Either. Not because, not for any other reason other than just like, all right.
It's just it's interesting because it follows a very similar, you know, it follows very similar beats where you have a guy that's just a, you know, kind of an average guy
gets in over his head. So let's get to this.
Fair enough. Yeah. So Tom Cruise is a TWA pilot. He doesn't like his job. Again, we go back to the super hot wife that, you know, in every Tom Cruise movie he has to have.
Sure, it's in his contract.
Get me a new Margot Robbie.
Yes.
That's I was going to say not Margot Robbie.
Yeah, yeah. Not Margot, or not Alice Eve.
Yeah.
Make sure they know I'm straight.
Yes. But, please. How many, can we get like 5 or 6, 12, 15, 24 sex scenes? Like, can we do that in this movie just so we're clear?
But you also can't help but draw comparisons. Like I mentioned Blow, also Wolf of Wall Street. Very crazy, manic at times, zany story, getting it over your head. You know, Margot Robbie was in that. So I did kind of draw that connection.
Yeah.
But he's at a bar in between trips and Domhnall Gleeson.
How do you say his name?
Domhnall.
He sees him. He kind of calls
Domhnall. If you're listening, if you could just shoot us a message,
that'd be fantastic. Yeah. Phonetically spell us your name for him, please.
I just call him Dom.
That's what I was going to do.
Yeah, there you go.
So DeLuise Gleeson.
Back to Cannonball Run. It all comes full circle.
Thank you for listening. Join us.
So he kind of calls him out, and he was like, "You've been smuggling cigars. So here's the deal: we want you to run this organization, which is like." IAC.
Why would they name it AIC?
Because
CIA backwards.
Because that was the Fed. That was funny. Like I'm sure they probably
I don't know
did.
If that part's real or not.
But I was just like, that's funny.
But how stupid! I mean, really, if you were going undercover, I hope it's just a jokey thing for the movie.
I'm sure it is.
To name your company CIA backwards when you're working for the CIA.
I do like that Pablo Escobar.
Wait a second. It's not AIC. That would be stupid. It's IAC.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No one's going to decode that.
Oh, okay. Right. Sorry. Yeah.
Like International Aviation Consultants.
Right. 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 But
so what? They want him to do
Kevin come on
oh yeah. sorry Is way
they,
different
they want him to fly over like Nicaragua and all these South American countries and that have insurgents and have these rebels and take pictures.
They basically hired him to be Google Earth,
basically. That's exactly what it was. So he initially turns him down and he's like, no, this isn't for me. There's a talk about money and he was just like, look, I got three kids, I got this, and they were just like, yeah, you'll figure it out. And he's just like, what? What does that mean?
Well, that's later on when he wants a raise.
Right. Oh, that's what it is. Yeah. So.
But he realizes he's bored.
He's bored.
He doesn't necessarily accept it, but he goes back to work and they're reading the checklist for safety. And he leaves in the middle of it because that was. I
did enjoy that scene where he's just like, all right, you'll be good, Barry. And he's just like, what? Where are you going? What?
But yeah, because his job is so automated,
right?
For safety, as someone who flies on planes,
was it in 1978, which is when this movie starts?
I think so.
I think. I mean,
they bounce from.
I'm sure it's even more automated today,
of course.
But no, I mean, I think it was that they had autopilot. I mean, because if you remember, there's an autopilot joke in Airplane, which is 1980.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
the autopilot.
The autopilot, right.
Yeah.
But he quits, you know, screw you all, I'm out. He just walks out on the runway.
He goes to his own hangar, like the...
He does a mic drop, but it's like, it's the 70s, so it's like that really, it's that really long Gene Roddenberry mic.
It's
from
the, it's Gene, the, Rayburn.
Gene Rayburn.
Gene Rayburn. Yeah. Yeah.
I got Star Trek, man. Gene Rayburn mic.
Yeah, the, he left the starship, and then he did a Gene Roddenberry mic drop.
Has he done a sci-fi? Well, he's just War of the Worlds, but he does like his... Has he done a space movie? Tom Cruise never done.
Oh, yeah, Oblivion.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. I blocked it out.
Yep.
I like that
movie. So, yeah, so, and he goes,
and he goes, and he meets up with Dom Gleason.
Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise.
I call
Gleason.
Him General Hux.
Yeah, that's fine. And he says, all right, fine. Like, let's do it. So he gives him his own plane. He's got this very fast plane. And he's like, he's taking... way too many chances with these guys who have automatic machine guns. They're shooting up his plane.
What I took is this guy is so bored and he just wants his life to be exciting.
And he kind of says, he like, so we see these little VHS inserts where he's just like, maybe I should have asked more questions, but I tend to leap before I look. And they've, so like,
it's,
we're
cool storytelling,
we're given like
device.
Time jumps, right? Yeah. So we're in 1978, then we look at the bottom of these
and there's
tapes.
A framing device where he's talking
like 1985,
to a video recorder, right? That he's, I guess, talking, like
narrating it, basically.
Yeah.
So he's taking all these pictures, and he's coming home, and of course his wife is dressed.
And he quit TWA,
but then nobody knows wife. That. Yeah. Yeah. He, yeah. Right. 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 So, and then I'm trying to think: does he get too close? Does he crash?
Yeah. They shoot him down,
and then he has to. How does he get out of that?
They shoot him at that one time and he recovers, but then the next time when he's coming in, he pulls up for gas. And
oh, that's
locked
right.
Off,
and they've got, it's the cartel. The cartel.
Off,
they,
like,
yeah. And gas, he was like, I just need gas. And he was like, yep, you do. So they take him. They take Tom Cruise, and they meet Pablo Escobar and the two other guys who are the, I know, it's such a,
right.
I
mean, Medellin cartel.
Yeah. The three top
you think
dogs.
The other two guys are ever mad that it's always Pablo Escobar and
he's
the other two guys.
Narcos.
I think they're dead. I don't think it matters anymore.
Okay.
Would it be okay to just call them the three amigos?
No. I think that might be racially insensitive.
No, wait a minute. He says constantly in the movie, amigos, amigos. So come on. It might be okay.
That's
I don't
true.
Think so.
They're his friends. He calls them amigos. Okay, never mind. Keep
he's smuggling pinatas.
That's true, yeah. So he ends up basically being told, you're going to get our product from here to Miami. And the guy, he's just like, that's no. Like, that's not going to work. I'm going to get caught.
And that's
like,
a great thing, because they've been trying to do it on their own with pilots that don't know what they're doing.
Right.
You see, like, wrecked planes.
Yeah.
People that couldn't even make it off the runway.
And graves, you know, like, mass graves of all the pilots who couldn't do it.
But this is what was so brilliant about this, is he's a TWA pilot. He knows federal laws, and he knows checkpoints and security, DEA, all that stuff. And so he's like, no, this is how you'll do it. I'm dropping it off in Louisiana. And they're like, what? No. And he's like, yeah, if I'm doing this, I'm dropping it off in Louisiana.
Right.
I'll fly over. I'll drop it out. He goes to the $1 million hole where he takes the plug out of
the
bottom of the plane. He straps the flotation devices to him and drops them down. And then guys recover them. Meanwhile,
he
lands. And when he does land of this first trip, you know, then DEA is right there to greet him, or customs, right?
Yeah.
And he's got nothing. So it was brilliant, because he would have gotten caught if
for sure.
And
he also understood the mechanics of the plane in terms of, like, they were like, there's room left, put more drugs in the plane. He's like, it's too heavy.
I did like, so that
take off.
That was my favorite scene of the movie, is where they've got the fat guy in the front seat. He's like, whoa, hey, big boy.
Yeah.
And he was just like, no,
where
he goes,
are you going?
Yeah, he's like, he's going with you. He's like, no, he's not. He's like,
I'm bringing your product, or I'm bringing
I'm bringing fat ass over here, or I can bring your product in. The next scene is like him, the fat guy, getting off the plane.
Yeah, that's fine.
I like that scene. So he starts to build this rapport with the cartel, and he's...
Which you better.
Yeah. You better deliver. And the line I did enjoy, where he's like, I'm the gringo that got...
Always
done.
Delivers.
I'm the
always
gringo that always
delivers.
Yeah. So...
Unnecessary cursing. Thank you.
Sorry.
Crazy gringo.
Yeah, right. So he starts to deliver more, like, he's getting more and more product, and he's making more and more money.
You know, here's the thing, is like, so when the government comes after him, and they're like,
the first time,
and they're like, you're a drug smuggler, you're in a lot of trouble. I mean, my thought process, because I'm just a regular gringo, not a crazy gringo, is,
do you think this guy's never going to do this again?
Well, not that, but like, was he really in a position to say no?
No.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
when the three of the top cartel bosses are like, you're doing this.
Like, you do it or you get shot in the head.
Oh,
like,
they had him at gunpoint. I mean, when they take him and they chain off the gas pump for that meeting, like, how do you say? There's no way.
Now, it's funny, though, because the movie, like, that's never even his point. Like, he's always, he's just like,
let's do it. Yeah, you know? Sure, why not?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he gets caught, and then he's tipped off by Schaefer, and he was just like, you need to get your family out and get to, like, Marin or
Mina.
Yeah. Like, Mina,
Arkansas.
Arkansas. So he gets home, and he was just like, he's got, like, a tooth missing, and he's all beat to hell.
And he says, we're moving.
And she's just like, what? No, we're not.
What a saint of a wife.
I do like she, every time he asks her, do you trust me? And she's like, hell no, I don't trust you.
Why would
I? But I love you, so all right, I guess we're doing this.
I mean, this woman should be given a sainthood.
Yeah,
I mean,
unfortunately, she ends up working at a freaking Kentucky Fried Chicken.
But it's like, he comes home at like midnight or whatever it is, and they have to leave by 6 a.m.
He's covered in muck, and he's bleeding.
And they pack up the whole house. I mean, she's reluctant. It's not like she wants to, but like, they do it.
Right.
It's like, wow.
So they get to Mina. And then, you know, he's
population 2000 something tiny, very small.
He's trying his hardest to keep her there and keep her together.
Let me just say, you skipped over one great point with the we have to move thing.
Yeah.
When he looks in her closet and says, do you need all those shoes?
I did.
Because I thought of my own wife, and I don't even have to ask that question. The shoes are going, and I'm probably not.
Yes. The answer is yes. I think I'm leaving some boxes of comic books behind, but the shoes are going to go.
Yes.
So they get to Mina, and Schaefer is waiting for them outside. There's this, they have like this tiny, I guess it's not tiny, they have a decent sized house. And Schaefer is there, and he meets them, and he kind of says, like, this is yours. This airfield is yours.
Yeah, brings them to his own airfield. They bought all property between
2,000 acres, the house, everything is yours. And he's just like,
cool.
What?
Yeah.
He's like, we just want you to keep doing what you're doing. He's like, you're going to start supplying.
Well, yeah, this is where the chase comes in.
So he's like,
he's not taking pictures.
No, you're not taking. I think he is taking.
He is, but it's a little bit.
You're
going to
start. So there's Contras in
Nicaragua
that need, like, the U.S. government wants them to be armed to fight. It's a big. So while
the U.S. government doesn't.
Right, the CIA.
Reagan does,
right.
Yeah, and
Reagan was on the verge of going into another Vietnam.
Right,
and
the Congress was like, we're not doing that.
Right.
And so he found a covert way to fund
them. So they wanted to supply this guerrilla army, basically, which sounds terrifying, like gorillas with machine guns. I've seen that movie.
Gorillas. I think those are two different things.
I think they are. Yes. So he's got all these routes that he's going to take, and he's going to get these weapons to where they need to go. And
so they're basically going to fight the war for America.
Yes.
So that America's not involved, but the CIA is dropping.
But he's
off
also
these guns.
It's a proxy war.
Yeah. He's also not going to stop running drugs, basically. So while all this is going on, now you've got Reagan's war on drugs at the same time, where it's like the infamous Nancy Reagan speech where, you know, just say no. And he is making money faster than he can do anything with it.
Literally.
Like, he's got it. He's burying it. He's got it. Like, there's the funny scene is where she's like, the dog dug up one of the bags in the backyard. There's $100 bills blowing everywhere. He's like, yeah, I'll rake it up in the morning.
And then she says, I found two more. Like, the amount of money. And we see it throughout the it is
he's
quite
invested
funny.
In, so, like, Jesse, again, Jesse Plibbins?
That would be Meth Damon from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Meth Damon? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Meth Damon.
See, to me,
he's the guy from Friday Night Lights.
He's Landry from Friday Night Lights.
Right.
Yeah.
For people who watch Breaking Bad, though, that's what everyone called him.
Yeah. He's still, that kid pounded up. Crucifictorious.
Yeah. They also call him Fat Damon, unfortunately. Yeah, I'm not saying I do. It's just that's another
you
one.
You just did.
That,
you're just sharing it.
Just sharing
it.
Yeah,
I'm just putting it out there.
Don't call him that, but they do. So, yeah, he plays the
also,
one.
Also, by the way, fantastic in Fargo, the TV series.
He was fantastic.
I didn't watch that season.
Oh, it was so good. It was really good.
With Kirsten Dunst.
And Patrick Wilson.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ted Danson.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Have you been watching The Good Place?
No.
No, how is that?
Cannot recommend it highly
enough.
That's
the Stephen King one, right?
No.
No.
Oh,
it's a comedy
with Kristen
Bell.
Where they die.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they got dropped.
No, it is so
it's
good.
Just
started season two.
Don't watch it on Hulu.
Don't read anything. Just go watch it on Netflix. Go start season one on Netflix.
What does it matter?
Because just, Hulu only has the last four episodes.
Yeah, and, trust
and sometimes
me.
People go and start from episode 9. Yeah. Okay. I've heard.
Okay. He's heard.
But something Kevin did?
Yes. But for real.
It's, Tom.
It's a great show.
Okay.
It's a great show.
I do
show.
Like her.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you'll, yeah. It's for real. Like, go watch it.
Okay.
You'll dig it.
Can't tell you how much Frozen is played in his household. So he's yeah. a fan.
Oh, my God.
So he plays the one sheriff. You know, it's just yeah, a small town.
So also, he is, like, Tom Cruise is putting so much money into the community.
Yeah. He has front like, businesses.
Yeah.
Because he needs to launder the money.
Yeah. Correct. And he's got banks everywhere. Like, I did like the scene where the FBI agent goes into the town and he's looking around and just like the bank of
every storefront is
and it was every you know the bank First Trust
looks
and,
like banks have just opened up yeah. on Main Street just to house all his money.
Banks everywhere.
Yeah.
How about the scene where they say, oh, you're putting my stuff in this small vault over here?
Like, no, we're putting everybody
else's money in the small vault.
Great
scene. For you. So
the baseball field is named
is
after
named
him
after
now.
Him, yeah. yeah.
Seal, like Frank. Frank's
Seal Field.
Barry Seal. Barry Seal.
Yeah.
That's stolen from that Steve Martin movie, isn't it? Where he plays the
My guy. Blue Heaven.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's stolen from that?
The naming the baseball field after him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. He plays a gangsters in
oh, that's funny.
Witness Protection.
Witness Protection
okay.
and Rick Moranis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
Melanie
he's
Melanie Mayron. Back
he's,
to you.
Yeah. He's getting himself deeper
and Cusack.
And
Joan Cusack.
There
sorry.
It is, yeah. Deeper and deeper into the weeds, basically. Like, he is does he
well so he starts what he does is so not only is he running more and more drugs, he hires four additional pilots, so he has five pilots running drugs, then he's taking the weapons he's supposed
that's
to
what
be supplying
yeah,
to the
yeah,
Contras
yeah.
and
he's giving them the
half
cartel
a third are actually going to the cartel,
right?
And so he's now taking photos, supplying drugs.
Well, and the Contras that they're arming aren't doing anything,
right?
They
yeah.
just want to fight.
They don't want to
yeah.
fight.
Yeah.
So I they end up having like Gleason comes to him, he's just like, all these tankers are just driving on his property, and he's like, what the hell's going on? And he's like, ah, we just need a couple acres of land, we're gonna start training the Contras down here. And he's just like, what?
Yeah,
well, how,
my
is
property,
that, how is that
what?
Gonna work? He's like, you're just gonna fly him in. And he's just like, all right, boss, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he is so cavalier about like the most insane stuff.
And I think in his mind, in all fairness, I think he's like, well, the government's telling me to do this. So if the government is saying do this,
right,
it, like I'm doing
the government's work.
The government's work.
And yeah, it's unfortunate for the guy. And again, I don't know how much is based on truth. I really do want to learn more. It's a fascinating story. But yeah, to Tom's point, I mean, they really kind of lead him on. Every time they want someone in the government wants him to do something, he goes along with it.
Do it for your country.
He doesn't really have a choice. I yeah. mean, not that he doesn't want to, because this guy does, but yeah. he goes along with this.
Yeah, he really is, because if he doesn't smuggle the drugs, he gets killed.
Right.
If he doesn't do what the government tells him to do,
he's in
they're
jail.
Gonna send him to
jail
for
jail.
Drug smuggling.
So right.
The guy has no other choice.
Yeah.
But every time it doesn't work out well for the government, it's, we don't know this guy. Who? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
So,
Schaefer who?
Yeah. So it's like the guy is really at a tough spot from a few different angles.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know that I can blame him necessarily for his choices.
No.
Not saying he's a great guy for doing all this illegal stuff, but what else would you do in that exact situation?
Right.
I mean, that's crazy.
The scene I did forget to talk about is he goes back to his wife after that first meeting with Schaefer, and he's just, the wife is just like, he's like, oh, I brought food. And she was like, awesome, I've already put the kids to bed. I need a fridge. I need a refrigerator. I need a dishwasher.
That's a good thing.
And he opens his bag of money. He's just like flinging bundles of $100
$10,000
bills.
Yeah,
he's throwing the money.
There's your, there's
yeah,
your washer
like
and dryer.
Where the refrigerator would be. Where
great.
The washer
yeah.
and dryer
yeah.
would be. He's just
and
throwing
that money.
And she's
just
like,
ooh,
what is happening? Like,
yeah.
what have you gotten us into?
But then he says, you can't tell anyone I'm working for the CIA.
For the CIA.
She laughs at him.
I love like. That because, like, I forget what we saw. We saw a movie not too long ago where somebody was like, I work for the government or some CIA or something. And, like, the person, like, believed. Like, and
like
I was,
immediately believed
And I was
them?
Like, wait. Nobody believes that. Nobody would believe that. Like, even if it's true, no one's going to believe you. You're going to have
to prove
like,
it.
To prove it and, like, really convince them. Nobody's going to be like, oh my god, okay, I didn't know.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And so I love the fact that she's completely dismissive.
Correct.
It sounds like every cheating husband's story about,
right,
like, well,
I'm working late.
I'm working for the government.
Yeah, I'm working,
Tony,
for the government. That's why I haven't been answering my phone. So he's transporting Contras from Nicaragua to the United States. They're fighting on
and
his.
And as soon as they land, half of them run away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that was the other part where he's just like,
they're just so happy to be in America.
Like, we're out. And just, yeah. So this Fed is starting to Something is up, and he knows something is up.
They trace at the FBI. They trace. They show there's all this influx of cash right. in this 2,500 person town. Like, right. Why would there be that much
money?
So
he shows up to the town, and there's like a Contra in fatigues, just like walking around on Main Street, and there's banks everywhere,
cars. Cars. All the guys.
Yes, really nice
car
cars.
That goes by him is like brand new.
Right. Yeah.
So
it's like
I'm trying to think if so. Well,
then brother-in-law comes to town.
Oh, that bastard.
Oh man, when he shows up,
as soon as he shows up, I was like, oh nope.
Which I'm sure he really did in real life, but still, like in the audience, you're just like, so mad.
Yeah. This is the beginning of the end. Yep.
Yes, it's kind of like Goodfellas.
Yeah,
when Henry starts to go on the decline.
Yeah. He shows up in his like trucker hat and his little tank top or no shirt on or whatever.
It's Barry's wife's. Brother,
and apparently she got all the good-looking genes.
She
I
did.
Guess that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened. He got the short end of that gene pool.
Well, you could tell looking at her, she used them all up.
Yeah,
there were none left over for the siblings.
You can have none. Sorry, these are all for me.
Yeah.
So he kind of, he's like, oh man, like I got all this thing and I'm going to do this. She's like, you're going to get a job. And he was just like, oh, I don't want a job.
I think Barry just wants to
buy
him off.
Barry was going to give him cash and like, get out of here. So he ends up hiring him to like sweep out this hangar. And things are going like, there's a couple hiccups along the way, but the big one is all of a sudden the brother pulls up in a brand new Gremlin with a 15-year-old girl, and like the wife is just like
a Gremlin X, like that's
it was a nice one.
That's the good Gremlin. Yeah. My first car was a Gremlin.
Oh really?
72 AMC Gremlin was orange.
Not an X though.
I don't like to brag. Yeah.
Not an X.
I don't come for money. Like I
don't have Gremlin X money.
Yeah. Right.
So he kind of says like the girl, like the wife kind of walks up and she was just like. Quickly gets the girl out of whatever situation she was in.
I didn't do nothing yet.
Yeah. Yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
This guy, right. I hate this guy so much. It's so frustrating.
Don't worry. You won't have to hate him for long.
Yeah.
So, Tom Cruise kind of says, where did you get the money for this? And he was just like, all right, I can't lie to you, Barry. I like you. I found a duffel bag full of money and I took it. And he was just like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not okay. And he was like, all right, I'm sorry.
And wasn't it like, there's just so much. Like,
yeah.
You wouldn't miss it.
He didn't think, like, he's so stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he's so stupid that you actually have to point out to him, that's not okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't do that. You know? So,
that's not your stolen money.
Right, yeah, right.
Hey, he's earning.
Who are you to have ill-gotten gains?
That's not your drug money.
He's
that's
working
my drug.
For, he
that's
is my working drug for money. That money.
That is true. Yeah. So Barry's out of town, and the brother somehow, like, again,
well,
has
they had
this,
to move. So the cartel is moving to Nicaragua from.
Oh, that's right.
And the brother gets spotted.
With a trunk
by
full
the police
of cash.
Chief.
So stupid. He like because he's skimming. He's taking money from the operation.
All the money hanging
shoving
out,
shoving it in his pocket, and then he goes to deliver the suitcase to the bank with bills sticking out.
Right.
Of it.
So
and yeah, him and
Plebbins is yeah, there's
lost
so
eyes.
He walks into this diner, and like he just kind of stands there and he looks around, and there's the sheriff, and he just kind of looks at him
like hey.
And like gives him a little wave and a nod,
and then
and
he
the
runs.
Kid turn no, he turns around.
Well,
like,
then he runs out.
So
like,
they chase him down. They get him in a. They try to
figure four leg lock.
The Boston Crab, the sharpshooter, all of that, Crippler Crossfix, Tequila Sunrise. I can keep going.
No,
okay. So
he's in jail,
and he calls Barry immediately,
and they're in the middle of this big meeting.
Oh, that's right.
And Nicaragua,
there's a new like Secretary of State or something that they have to. Schmooze, basically.
Well, because it's the guy that controls the runways.
Right.
So now that they need to take off from... It's Nicaragua, right? That's where they ended up. Now that they need these new runways and to come in and out of the country, they have to talk to him. So in this meeting where the cartel is sitting at the desk with this
guy...
They
tell Barry, they're like, don't... Just sit there and shut up.
He has to be there because he's the one running the planes and everything. But he's sitting there and he's getting paged nonstop by the wife.
Right.
And it's because the guy's in jail. The brother's in
women.
Jail.
Right. So he calls the brother and he's like, oh man, they got me. Like, I didn't tell him nothing. And he was like, shut up, listen to the lawyer, and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
So, do what the lawyer says.
Right. So he gets off the phone, and one of the drug lords is just kind of like, he's like, what's going on? He's like, oh, my brother-in-law got pinched. He's like, we'll take care of it. And he was just like,
don't take care of it. You don't need to take care of it.
Like, it's, I'll handle it. He's like, no.
They're not going to fix it.
Yeah,
we'll take care of it.
Right. Right. And they just keep saying, we'll take care of it. They're not, it's not a, it's not up to Barry. I mean, it's, they're telling him.
So Barry gets back into the States, and he kind of picks up the brother, and he was just like, the brother, brother's pulling a Fredo, like he knows that he's in trouble. So he, you know, Tom Cruise, to his credit, it just throws him a bag of cash, and he was like, "You're gonna get in that car, a passport. You're gonna go to Fuji, not Fuji. Or Fuji,
the apple. Doesn't give him an apple. I like Golden Delicious. Take the Fuji.
And get out of here. So he kind of says, he's like, you're going to go there. You're not going to call us. You're just going to be on your own. And then, of course, like, he's like, man, F you, Barry. You know, you're going to pay me every month or every week. You're going to, you know, wire money every week. And if you don't, I'm going to tell. I'm going to rat, blah, blah. So the kid gets in the car and he starts to drive away. And the car immediately just explodes. And that takes care of brother-in-law. So Barry, and of course, it's all on Barry's land. So he just kind of like pushes it into the, like, you know, the woods. And this is where Barry is in trouble, because now he gets arrested by, there's a raid on his property, and he gets, it was the feds, the DEA, the CIA, the state police, ATF.
And the sheriff.
That's quite
the sheriff was with the state police.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite the Mexican standoff, if you will.
So he goes in
Nicaraguan standoff.
Yeah. Right.
So he goes in front of the U.S. attorney, and she's like, do you know who I am? And he's just like, no, ma'am, I don't. And he kind of lays it, you know, she lays it out. She's like, I got you, dead to rights. Like, it's, there's nothing you can do. And then all of a sudden, there's a call, and she was like, it's Governor Clinton. And he, she picks up the phone. She's like, hey, Bill. And he was just, and then the scene cuts.
Well, they say, get him out of here.
They take him out. They sit him on a bench, and he's just like, y'all want Buicks? Like,
Caddies.
Caddies, whatever. The trunk space, blah, blah.
Well, you're not a very good Italian. You know that Caddies have the biggest trunk space.
Is that where you want to go with it? Really?
Continue.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm also not Italian, but that was the stink eye. For our listeners, that pause right there was Joe giving a stink
eye. Why did he just come over and kiss me on the cheek? What does this mean?
Go start your car.
Okay, I'll go start my Buick.
Yeah, do it. No, it's up to you. So he's kind of sitting there. And he's, this is the Tom Cruise that I'm not a huge fan of. Like, the snarky, I'm better than you, Tom Cruise. Like, he has not been this character the entire time. But when he's sitting there with the...
I don't think he said he was better. He was being a smartass.
That's
like,
what I mean.
He was,
like, he was...
See, I like this scene.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I mean, where he's just like, I'm untouchable.
I'm gonna walk out of here.
Yeah.
Right.
It shows you the position this guy was in, and his influence and the people behind him. Like, it's just, I mean, it's great for the character, and to show it's like, he just keeps getting out of every situation. His luck is just unbelievable.
Right.
The way that he goes into one situation, I mean, out of the frying pan, into the fire, and then
into another fire.
Yeah, but the fire's put out immediately. And
but he puts out the last fire with the new fire.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. That's a good point. But, you know, this is one reason why I don't like watching trailers, though. You know, I just hate, you know, and I saw this trailer. I don't go out to watch them, you know, but before I see a movie, sometimes it's hard to avoid them. And, you know, this joke is in the trailer. Every trailer I've seen, I think I saw a couple before movies, and they do the caddy thing, and it's
right.
Like, oh, I would have been much funnier to see it the first time.
Yeah,
right?
They don't really give any context, like, where that is in the movie when you see in the trailer.
But when I see that scene, I'm like, oh, he's got to get more caddies and then get free.
The trailer made this movie feel a lot more higher in energy.
I would agree.
Than the movie actually.
That's because they want to sell it as a Tom Cruise action movie.
Right.
Yeah.
I won't even say that it sold it as an action movie so much. But it just felt a lot more kinetically edited
in the trailer. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And stylized.
I think they're going for Wolf of Wall Street.
You know, I agree. And it just, it never quite gets that level of energy.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, even, I think in the trailer they use, is it a Freedom? There's like a Freedom song that I think that they're playing.
Yeah.
When Gleason's like dancing on one of the crates about, you know, we're back in business or whatever.
Yeah.
You're right. So, yeah, they make it look more like that looks like something out of Wolf Wall.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So he gets the call and he goes to meet with the guy who I can only think of him because I think he was on the Shield. Like he was the like lieutenant that was trying to take down Vic Mackey on the Shield, and somebody else. And he was just like, look, we just want you to do what you've been doing.
Yeah.
And he's like, what?
Well, they take him to the White House.
That's what it is. Yeah.
This is when they take him to the White House. Yeah. And so they basically say,
well,
that
he meets Oliver North.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
When he meets W, I loved that scene. When W is, they're sitting next to each other. The guy that got to play a young George W was great. Like, that was a hilarious
what?
Scene.
I guess this one over
the
my
scene
head.
Where they're both sitting. That's George W. Bush.
Really?
Yeah.
Because his father, George H.W. Bush, was the head of the CIA.
Right.
Before he was vice president.
Well, he would have been vice president by then.
No, I'm just pointing out what the connection is.
The guy that was a pilot? Because says he had. I just didn't realize. No, that's funny.
That was George W.
Okay.
Bush.
Yeah.
Because, like, he calls me, he's like, hey, Junior. And he's like, all right, I got to go. And
I just zoned out. I guess that's funny.
I liked that scene a lot. I do like the fact, though, that I didn't feel like this movie was overtly political.
No.
In that, like, everybody's hands were dirty.
Yes.
Reagan, Bush, Clinton,
everybody.
Like, it wasn't a
preachy.
It wasn't a party thing. Like they've all made these deals with the devil on different levels and different issues.
Yeah, you know? I think Clinton probably not as much because he probably got the directive from somebody else.
Yeah,
who was just like make the call.
Sure,
like,
I mean he's still governor.
And
he ends up president.
True.
Fixed it if he was that concerned.
But he's like, nah.
I mean, there's also at some point there's pragmatism.
That's true.
Yeah. But you get into the whole Iran-Contra thing. That's what the Oliver North thing is and how the White House is involved. And that is, you know, a real part of our history.
Right.
That was yet another example of our government getting involved in something it should never have even dipped its toe in.
Right.
Yep. Totally agree.
So they say basically the way that he's going to get saved this time is that they want to get the cartel.
They want to make sure they get the political higher ups with their hands in the pie, basically.
Yeah.
They want to see them touching the drugs and taking them off. So they give Barry this massive cargo plane, and they've got cameras everywhere, and they're showing him the thing for the pictures, and the one guy who was like his right hand guy is just like, Barry, they can see. Like, this is, we're going to get
killed. There's a long cord where the shutter release button.
Yeah, he's like, we're going to die. Like, they're going to see us do this. And he's like, yep, we'll be fine. Blah, blah, blah. So they go, and it gets a super intense moment where you think that the cartel knows that they are in on it. And then the cartel leader that has been, like, his right
Jorge.
Jorge. But Pablo, at this point, has started to become the Pablo Escobar that is kind of infamous. The infamous murderous crime lord.
Well, that's why they had to move too, because he was just
he went a little too far.
Yeah.
So everything goes off without a hitch. They're able
but
to
this point where you think that they're going to kill him.
Yeah, they've got him on the ground.
Ordered, like,
he's like, shoot them all. And he was just like, whoa! And then he starts laughing. And he's like, oh, your buddy peed his pants. Yeah. He's like, yeah, it's real funny. Sorry, Kevin.
But it was so uncomfortable because
you had no idea if that was going to go or not.
Yeah.
So they get the pictures, they get everything squared away, and then they come back to the States, and it's a huge win. Like, that's massive, and they're going to take everything down.
Makes you feel so uncomfortable for him.
My God.
I mean, again, not saying this guy is a Boy Scout, not saying he's never done anything illegal, but to Tom's point earlier, and we talked about it, like, he doesn't have a choice in the matter, and it's like he's working for the government, whatever he thinks.
Right.
And then Reagan goes on TV.
He goes on TV, he's like, we got him, and we're gonna you know, tear him down from the inside out. And then
they
put
a picture
of Tom Cruise.
Of Barry and the guy taking the pictures.
Right.
And now, it just makes you...
Now, I did read up on this part,
because
I was curious to see how that actually played out.
And
so Reagan did show the picture on TV,
okay,
but it was after he had been exposed. So Reagan was not who exposed him. Uh-huh. Who actually exposed him was the Washington Post.
Because they posted the picture.
They posted the picture.
They got it like illegally from...
Nobody knows where they got the picture from.
Right.
But most people seem to believe that the Washington Post had the picture leaked to them by Oliver North.
Yep. Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
okay.
But it was not like... And that part of the movie kind of bugged me, that it was like...
They made Reagan out to be the bad guy?
They made it like Reagan was either... a jerk and didn't care,
right,
or his administration didn't care, when really that's not the way that went.
Because this guy got
down.
Them the photos to take.
And I think Reagan would have, I I know this is going to sound crazy because a lot of people don't feel it. I think Reagan would have been smart enough to ask the question of like, because I mean, if there's one thing Reagan understood, it was optics.
Yep.
Right. I mean, this is a guy that was like, yeah, you're talking trash about me on network TV, but you're showing a picture of me in front of 15 American flags, so I'm going to be okay.
Yeah,
and he was
I'm
right. Good. And so, like, you know, so he understood that in a way I don't think any president has on a first hand. Maybe Clinton.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he would have been like, are you sure we can show these people?
Right.
Like, I feel, I don't know.
The picture,
I
mean, this American
maybe I'm
citizen.
Giving him too much credit, but I just, I feel like he was very in tune with TV.
Yeah, for sure.
And movies.
That's if Back to the Future has taught me anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, we know how the cartel works. I mean,
right.
He just, I so mean, he just screwed them over. So he's.
They immediately are just like, kill him.
Yeah.
Like, kill them all. So Tom Cruise is arrested. They raid the house. And I thought what he was saying, he was like, you need to go back to Alabama, Georgia,
Arkansas.
Louisiana.
Okay.
Clinton was from Arkansas.
That's right. Thank you.
That's
yes,
how you
that's
remember
true.
That.
That's how you remember
that. He tries to send the wife back
but
to Louisiana.
But I was thinking, like, he had something set up in Arkansas. Like, that's why he was like, you just need to go back. And she was like, I ain't going back. Like, I love you. So,
Paul, do you know if it's true? There's a thing in the movie, which I've never seen before, but I found fascinating. It makes a certain amount of sense that when they're raiding, when the FBI comes in and starts confiscating their possessions, that he says that they can't take anything that you're wearing.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
I never heard that before either.
Okay, I like.
Why
I
are you asking me? Why don't you ask the law enforcement officer?
Well, I guess because you do news talk radio for years. It just seems like something that
I've had your house raided several times.
Of the
Paul.
Many things that I've done in my career, I've never raided somebody's house and have to worry about their Fourth Amendment rights, Joe.
I will plead the fifth.
No, that's the thing I've never heard of.
We're pleading the fourth here.
Oh, the fourth. Sorry, yes.
It kind of makes sense because where do you draw the line? If you're wearing some Gucci dress that's worth $500,000.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so if it's clothing, like, do they start tearing your bracelets off but leave your expensive dress on? You know, so I kind of get it.
No,
that
I mean, there's a certain logic to it, but I've just never seen it mentioned in a movie before.
If it's not, that's smart.
And I've never been raided by the FBI.
Not recently.
I mean, the ATF, but not
that's
the FBI.
Different. It's totally different.
Yeah.
So he's arrested. He's taken. They take everything. They take all the money. They take everything. He goes to court, and the judge is just like, given the evidence, he's like, do you plead guilty? He's like, yeah. He's like, all right, 1,000 hours community service. And Tom Cruise, again, like, I like the look on his face where he's just like,
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry, that's my trick here. Could you say that again?
He's like, so I can walk out of here?
He told his wife, go back to Louisiana.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
And he said, I'm going to jail for a while, but it'll be okay. I'll get out.
Yeah.
And I think I interpreted this scene as a Clinton thing.
I think
because it was like local charges that he was getting brought up on at that point.
Because he had to stay in Arkansas to do the community service.
Yeah, so I took that to mean that like that the governor was like, we just need to make this quietly go away.
Yes.
And that was the easiest, quietest way.
So
even the DA was like, are you
what the
yeah.
Made you think about it.
But to keep him stuck at the same place doing the community service, I mean, that's just a death sentence.
Yeah, really, it's 1,000 hours. Then he could leave.
I understand, but they're
he's
on
never
the plane
make
day
it.
One.
It's going to take
oh, yeah,
him.
Yeah, right,
he said it's
right,
120
right.
days.
Right.
That's
yeah. 120 days of doing the same thing every day
at the same place.
Yeah,
that's
right,
4
right.
months. Pablo and you know,
1,000 hours divided by 40 is 25 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm saying if he's doing it
right.
full time.
Yeah. So it's just like, so, but I mean, they get on a plane before his community service starts.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to find him within that time. So really, again, I don't know if I'm reading too much into it. If they were like, well, we'll let him go, but he's, I mean, I don't know what they thought, but that's a death sentence. They're going to find him at the same place.
What I've, the little bit I've read, I was under the impression that the government wanted him
dead.
No.
Oh.
To go into witness. Into witness relocation, and he wouldn't do it.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
And, seriously?
And so the government was mad. The government was willing to hide him,
wow.
And he wouldn't do it because it meant his family would have to live, and he wouldn't do it. So he's like, I'm going to do that. I think his thought process was
the honorable thing.
I think he thought, I'll make it through the community service, and then I'll grab my family and we'll go hide.
After all, everything has gone right for me up until
now. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, in a way, though, it has. Right?
That's what I mean.
I think he actually fought that. Yeah, like
he's invincible. Yeah.
Yeah, he keeps skirting
disaster, basically.
It just makes you, again, I mean, I haven't read a lot about the guy, but it just makes you so frustrated for, let's call it the character or whatnot, you know, this guy, because he got through all this stuff. He was out. He got off the hook.
Right.
And if he would have just hidden or whatever, at least he could have lived out the rest of his days. And the fact that you're saying he did turn down witness protection, that's so frustrating for this character.
So this is where you find out that he's been keeping
these,
like,
tapes we've been seeing.
Is him telling these stories.
Yeah.
So they're all labeled with, like, Nicaragua, the
and
Contra,
the year,
and the year.
I like
stuff.
That.
And
I like
and
that.
Each
I,
one,
did, I like that framing device.
I did, too. And each one has been a different backdrop, and it's been every night.
He's going to different hotels.
He stays in a different, like, crappy motel room to hide from them, which before this even plays out, I'm like, well, that's dumb. They're going to kill you at the Salvation Army.
Right.
Because they know you go there every day.
That's what I'm saying. The hotel thing was smart, and then you go to the same place.
Yeah, but I'm like, you can't. I mean, I get that's the variable he could control.
I did like that he was constantly like, hey, I'm just going to start my car. You might want to move back.
Yeah.
Like, just move away from the car.
That was a very funny montage while the car started.
I do have to disagree with you guys about the video stuff, which you call a great framing piece for the movie. This movie was shot in 2015 and was supposed to come out in 2016. It was supposed to be a summer 2016 release. Hmm. And here we are. It didn't come out until the last weekend in September in 2017. Hmm. I think somewhere along the way, Doug Liman and the other people involved in this movie went back and said, maybe people aren't going to understand everything that's going on.
Yeah,
and
they
added the narration part. And to make the device work, they added in this VHS video quality fuzzy stuff to add that in there. And I think it detracts from what we're watching.
Interesting.
Hmm. Really? Like, what don't you like about it?
I think it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
I think it just throws, you know, we could see him making one or two of those videos while he's going hotel to hotel and see it in the linear time frame where it fits, rather than having it with the, you know, flashback from the future.
Right.
Which I think it's a cheap story device to me.
See, I like the aspect of it that it kind of is a head fake that makes you think he's going to live.
He's
going to
get away. Yeah.
But if it
because
were there,
he's telling the story.
But it's not there from the beginning.
Well, I think it kind of is because
they cut him in the beginning.
Well, it comes in pretty early.
When you look at, like, when they describe where they're going, you know, like Nicaragua in 1978, Mina, whatever. It's written in his handwriting,
and it's on the tapes.
With the year
TWA 70, whatever.
You know what I mean?
The very first scene
they come in pretty early with the framing device. It's one of the first things in the movie.
Yeah.
I just thought they. I just thought it was unnecessary.
It's not used consistently. Like, it's not like you go a good chunk of the movie without seeing it, and so it's easy to forget that they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't think you're wrong about it. It was added after the fact to clean up some narrative.
Yeah,
like I don't think that's wrong.
What else has he done? Is he the Bourne Identity guy?
Who Doug Liman?
He
did Swingers. He did The Bourne Identity. He directed and produced the first one, and then he produced the sequels to that.
Okay.
Lived, I Repeat was the last one.
Yeah, Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
He did that one.
Interesting
little note about this. Doug Liman's father, Arthur Liman, was the chief counsel for the Senate committee investigating Iran-Contra.
That's insane. Huh.
So you think he called up dad and said, hey, kid,
can
listen,
I get some info?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, what I want to know is, Tom, in your research.
And another little interesting thing, his mother's maiden name was Coconut, and they were the inspiration for the
Lime and the Coconut.
For the Harry Nilsson song.
Wow.
That's a true story I just made up.
Yeah, it's great.
It's good.
Did you
I like it.
Doug and the Coconuts, I remember them.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Did you find any information about, what I want to know is, how did all this get declassified? Like, we have so much information. How do they choose to let this out and, you know, to get all the true?
I don't think it was classified.
No. But they were doing all this stuff. They're burning stuff afterwards.
I mean, I think the government's version of it is classified, but this guy was never an official employee. He never had a top secret clearance. He never.
Right. But who's telling this story? I don't know if this is based on a book, but how do we know this stuff is what I mean. I just don't know who.
I think it's like some version of his version of this.
What
is
if he made the
record.
Tapes? Then it wouldn't be a poor framing device.
Right.
What if this guy really made these tapes and telling this based on.
Yeah. And I don't think so. And that's the other reason I think your theory is right is because they make sure to show you the tapes being confiscated and destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, that's their way of saying these don't think. these aren't a thing. Don't go look for them.
No.
We won't talk about those.
I just kept thinking, because I want to read more about this because it's so fascinating. And I thought, whose account is this?
The government,
I would think, would have their stuff under wraps. General Hux is saying everything.
Isn't there like a, it's 30 years, right? Like, isn't that 30, the Free Information Act?
I know they do declassify things. Like,
I wonder if some stuff came out and they maybe worked.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah, the end of this movie is he's sitting at the Salvation Army and he's looking around and there's nobody there.
He's gathering his canned food for the drive.
And then he sees three guys come out of the shadows and then you see
the reflection in the car window.
Right.
It's just
and
like,
the guy kind of walks up and they cut to black and you hear a gunshot. It sounded like the gun from No Country for Old Men, like that silenced shotgun that's not even a real thing.
But, right.
And that's how it ends. Like they cut back to the wife who's now working at a KFC.
Not a KFC, but.
What was it?
It was just off-brand. Oh. She talks about going to work at KFC, she ended up with something. And I don't know if that's because they couldn't use it or if to show that she was just at some
middle of
nowhere or whatever.
But well, like if she was still home in Louisiana, it would have been Popeyes.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
This was like Colonel McClucky's chicken. Like, it was a very generic. They showed the...
old Colonel McClucky's.
Yeah.
It was owned by Hurley.
Yeah. So, like, she's handing the guy's food back. And she's got, like, a massive diamond bracelet still.
Explains the plane crash.
Yeah. Right.
Yes,
if only Dan was here to enjoy your Lost reference.
I know, especially when I wasn't ripping on it.
Oh, right. That's the one.
I know. He missed it.
He's doing Watchmen. That scares me to death. That look.
Who is?
David Lindelof is writing the Watchmen treatment for HBO for the series. Just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Stop mucking with
it. So if you're looking if you're looking for more information about Barry Seal,
yes, please.
You can visit your local library and look for Barry and the Boys, the CIA, the Mob, and America's Secret History.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then there's also a book called Smuggler's End, The Life and Death of Barry Seal, and another one called American Made, which I think is what this movie might be based on.
I wonder.
Who killed Barry Seal? Pablo Escobar or George H.W. Bush? That's a really cumbersome title.
Wow.
Who wrote that?
Pablo Escobar.
It was just clearing his good name, right?
Yes. It was written by Kevin Lyman. No. Written by Sean Atwood.
Okay.
It's from Die Atwood.
Yeah. And then apparently Dennis Hopper played him in the docudrama Double Crossed.
Interesting. Oh.
And
Barry Seal?
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Is Dennis Hopper still alive?
No. Okay. He died about 3 or 4 years ago. And then Michael Paré played him in a movie called The Infiltrator. You might remember Michael Paré.
Oh, that's the Russell Crowe one?
I don't think so. It's from 2016.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Isn't there a Russell Crowe movie called The Infiltrator?
No, that's a Bryan Cranston movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So is there a connection between that and this?
Oh, maybe this is the... Let's see. Yeah, because... I'm just looking to make sure it's the same. Yes, this is the same movie. Yeah,
underrated movie, by the way. Yeah. Did you see it, The Infiltrator?
I did, yeah.
I haven't, but I've heard good things.
But yeah, it says Michael Paré, who you might remember as Eddie from Eddie and the Cruisers, or from Streets of Fire.
He's the main guy. He's the main dude in that. Love that movie. There's a fascinating interview. Did you hear?
On the DVD?
No. How Did This Get Made? Has that spinoff.
Oh, yes.
Where the guy talks to different directors.
And writers.
In between the movies, they try to do an interview with the creatives behind them. And now it's spun off if you're a member of like the premium, I don't know if it's like Howl or whatever, but they have their own kind of show with longer interviews. And the first one's for free if you go on the How Did This Get Made feed. And it is with Michael Paré. It's fascinating to hear him just talk about those days. And
that movie was directed by Walter Hill.
Yep, that's correct.
The Warriors, 48 Hours.
Oh, that's
Extreme
right.
Prejudice.
Yeah, that's
Red
right.
Red Heat. He loves bus crashes.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, he does. There's a bus crash in Extreme Prejudice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's a bus crash
in The Warriors.
There's a bus crash in 48 Hours.
Mm-hmm. There is.
And then Red Heat.
Man, they use the N-word a lot in that movie.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. In Red Heat, they play chicken.
They do. That's
with
right.
Two buses.
Yeah, that's the Schwarzenegger one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in another 48 Hours. There's a bus when Eddie Murphy gets out of prison.
Yeah.
There's a bus crash. It flips over. The dude loves buses.
They wanted him for The Fugitive.
That would have been good.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he was a producer on Speed, I believe.
Yeah.
But interesting story real quick. Go listen to it. But Michael Paré says that in that movie, in Streets of Fire, a bus stops and it stops inches away from him, and it's just some actor driving the bus.
Oh my God.
He doesn't want to stand in front of it and not get hit by, you know, just barely. And the director is just, I guess, Walter Hill. He's just like, no, it's fine. Just go do it. And the guy will stop. And so he walks out and, you know, puts his hand up or whatever, and the bus stops just like inches away from him, and
he just thought,
you know what, if I would have, and he like puts his hand out, and he said it like just the air, like it touches his hand, so he's just like, you know, 1 inch 6 inches forward. I mean, he would have been ran over. Like, the fact that worked out and he didn't get injured is just bizarre. So it's a great interview, so check that one out.
But and then I guess they talked about Barry Seal. It says in a TV movie, Alias El Mexicano. Perhaps it's pronounced Mexicano.
Maybe.
So,
that's a lot of stuff.
And then he's on an episode of Narcos. So there's some,
some
pop culture appearances of Barry Seal.
I thought it was a fascinating story. And that's a
good movie. I enjoyed the movie.
I thought this movie was very similar to Battle of the Sexes in that it's a fascinating story in a good but flawed film.
Yeah. I agree with that.
You know, neither of these movies were great, but they were both solid, and they were
for September release. Like, it's
And they were propped up, and that's maybe too harsh of a term, but they were kept afloat by how interesting the actual true event was.
Yeah,
I agree with you. Unless you go in with the wrong expectation, as I said a couple of times before, if you go in expecting Mission Impossible or Jack Reacher, right, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah. We call that mother syndrome.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, that's also similar to Battle of the Sexes. If you go in expecting a wacky Steve Carell comedy, you know, and I think some people might be.
Yeah, but I think with all the promotion that thing got, especially on ESPN.
Sure.
Oh, my God. Yeah. For a month straight, every commercial break was a commercial for Battle of the Sexes. Yeah. I think people have an idea what that movie is.
Yeah. I could see, though, putting Steve Carell on the screen and having him do those wacky things. Like, they I believe they show clips of him doing, like, the sheep, you know, like chasing the sheep with a tennis racket.
Right.
So, like, if you see a trailer for a movie with Steve Carell doing wacky things, like, some people may just catch that and go, oh, this is a zany comedy. Like, I could see it.
Yeah, it could have. But anyway, I enjoyed this movie.
I enjoyed it too.
So it was fun.
Yeah. So
for
I guess.
Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah. Oh, you look like you wanted to say something.
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Make a note of it.
Did you enjoy it, Paul?
I enjoyed it. I liked it. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I'm in the exact same boat.
I think on my show I gave it a 7.5 or a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's fair. I think that's probably exactly where I would land. I would never, I can't ever envision sitting down to watch it again, but I'm also, I'm glad I saw it. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't mad at the movie when I was done.
For the story especially, because now I'm fascinated. And what's funny is, two movies in a row, I'm just very fascinated by the story.
Yeah.
I wanted to read up more about
after Battle of Sexes, you wanted to play tennis, and now you want to smuggle drugs.
Yeah.
And then you want to become a Brody.
And have sex with not Margot Robbie.
Well, that sounds all right. I mean, if that's the case.
So anyway, that's it for this episode. We will go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Paul. You can find me on KTRS Radio Mondays and Fridays from 3 to 6 and other times on HarrisOnline.com.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Continue the conversation online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. You can find us on Twitter at Real Spoilers. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. Coming up on next week's movie du jour, I think that's a safe bet. I don't think we have to convene about what we'll be talking about next week.
So.
It'll be Blade Runner 2049. So thanks for tuning in. Until then, Jordan turns state's evidence.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.